But there's one thing used in the ritual that doesn't have the Vajra epithet, which isn't Vajra this or Vajra that. And that's the Vajra itself. It's just Vajra. If you like, it's the only thing that isn't real, because it's reality. And this reality, of course, is symbolized by the middle portion, the central sphere of the Vajra. All right, now come on to the four-petaled lotuses, or eight-petaled lotuses. And as we can see, there are two of these, one growing out of each side of the central sphere. So what do they mean? What does the lotus in general mean? First of all, let's go back to the central sphere just for a minute. It's not just a sphere in the abstract, as it were. It hasn't just a geometrical significance. It's more concrete, more living than that. It's also an egg or a seed. And as such, as egg or a seed, this spherical central portion represents not just reality, but reality as source. Reality as the source, the ultimate source of the whole of existence. So we can now see the meaning of the two lotuses. The lotus in general symbolizes birth, growth, unfoldment, development, especially harmonious growth, unfoldment and development. And the two lotuses, growing out of opposite sides of the central sphere, represent the emergence from the undifferentiated or non-differentiated reality of the basic duality of existence. They represent the initial, as it were, primordial fissure or splitting of reality into two great poles, two great halves, two great worlds, two great cosmoses. And perhaps the most useful expression for these two poles, these twin poles, is yang and yin. And they correspond roughly to spirit and nature, purusha and prakriti, light and darkness. But we mustn't think that this emergence of the lotuses, this splitting of reality, is something that takes place in time, that takes place at a particular point of time, say at the beginning of things. It takes place all the time. Now, once the process of growth and unfoldment has started, as it were, it continues and continues, and it continues until it reaches the very limit, until two whole worlds, two whole cosmoses have come into existence. And these two worlds are represented by the third formal element of the Vajra, represented by the two sets of five spokes, including the central axis. So let us come on now to them, the two sets of five spokes. And what do these mean? In a general way, of course, they stand for the two worlds, the two cosmoses, the two poles of yang and yin. But let's be a bit more specific than that. The first set, or one set at any rate, one set of spokes, stands for the five Buddhas. There's a spoke in the center, the axis, as it were, and there are four other spokes at the four cardinal points. Now, it's the same with the five Buddhas. There's a Buddha in the center, there's a Buddha at each of the four cardinal points. Now, who are these five Buddhas? I'll say only a few words about them now, because I'll be dealing with them in detail in the last lecture, when we come to the symbolism of the five Buddhas, male and female. First of all, there is Varochana. Varochana occupies the central position, and he is white in colour, and his name means the illuminator. Varochana was originally an epithet of the sun. It occurs as such in the Rig Vedas. So Varochana is sometimes called the great sun Buddha. And he bears in his hands an eight-spoked golden wheel, the wheel of the Dharma. So this is Varochana, the illuminator. And secondly, there's Akshobhya. He occupies the eastern quarter, and he is dark blue in colour. And his name means unshakable or imperturbable, and he holds as emblem the Vajra itself. Sometimes he changes places with Varochana, and then he occupies the centre of the circle. So this is Akshobhya. Then thirdly, Ratnasambhava, whom we've already mentioned, he occupies the southern quarter, and he is golden yellow in colour. Once you try to see these Buddhas in one's mind's eye, as I describe them, one by one taking their places in the mandala, as it were. And his name means the jewel-born or jewel-producer. And he holds the jewel as his emblem. And then, fourthly, there's Amitabha, who occupies the western quarter, and he is red in colour. His name means infinite light, and his emblem is the red lotus. And fifthly and lastly, there's Amoghasiddhi, who occupies the northern quarter, who is green in colour, whose name means unobstructed success, and whose emblem is a double Vajra, that is to say, two Vajras crossed. Now, these five Buddhas are five different colours in these five different directions, correspond to these five spokes and make up the world of Yang, make up the archetypal world, the ideal world, the world of meditation, the world of enlightenment. And these five spokes